You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
صباح الخير. Good morning, dear listeners. You're listening to Radio 3CR on 855 AM and Palestine Remembered with Robert Martin, Nasser Mashni and Yusuf Ahmed Al-Rimawi.
Palestine Remembered is Australia's only English language radio program that is totally dedicated to Palestine. We'd like to welcome those listening on 855 and those that will join us on podcast at 3cr.org.au.
Thanks for joining us. Stay with us and enjoy the episode.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Palestine Remembered. Here we are, 6 and a bit months later, and still fighting strong. I'm so very, very proud, not just of the Palestinian community's resilience in steadfastness in Gaza, not just because of their strength, their courage, their indomitable spirit, their unbreakability, but I'm so, so very proud of our community in diaspora, wherever that might be, and particularly in the global north, in those countries like this settler colony, where Palestinians have been silenced and others othered, and that they are continuing to stand up, show up, fight out. And if you look at the array of actions and how they represent themselves, whether it's the Sunday rallies in Melbourne or community pickets at HTA, at Hume, actions on Monday, and very, very importantly, this weekend, this Monday, all across the world, the A15 movement. If you don't know what that is, just Google it. But it's a worldwide call for solidarity with Palestine to shut the entire system down. So there are many things you can do. You can click on and see the activities that have been publicly listed. But I'm very, I'm looking forward to finding out all the stuff that I don't know about that's going to happen by crew all over Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide. So as a human being, what you can do is stay home. Unplug from capitalism, unplug from the system that profiteers. One of the challenges, you know, you think about our Prime Minister and his background and where he's got to and what we've become. He's pivoting Australia as a manufacturing place, creating jobs, but in the war machine. In the war machine. And we need to absolutely hold him to account to principles of humanity. And that's actually unplugging ourselves from the supply chain that is perpetuating this genocide in Gaza to every little bit. So you can do it from home. Unplug. Don't watch commercial TV. Stay at home. Read a book. Don't send your kids to school. There are many ways you can do it. Or have a look at A15 and find out what public events are on. You don't actually have to put yourself at the front line if that's not something you want to do. But all credit to that crew wherever they are, and well done, and keep it up. During the week, we had a couple of things that happened. Peter Dutton described the Opera House protest. The Opera House protest where for the best part of 4 months, the virulent, hateful Israel groups, anti-Palestinian groups, perpetuated the lie of the doctored audio, which we knew was doctored within 24 hours, that people were chanting, "Gas the Jews." They perpetuated that. The videos have had hundreds of millions of views, contributed with the rest of the Hasbara, the 40 beheaded babies, babies in ovens, manufacturing consent, you know, as Noam Chomsky said, manufacturing consent for the dehumanization of Palestinians that allowed for unfettered Western diplomatic and media and military support of this genocidal, racist, fascist regime and the genocide they have perpetuated on Palestine. The Peter Dutton in hyperbole said that this rally was like Port Arthur Massacre, where 35 innocent people were gunned down by a crazed madman. the politicisation of Palestine, the football that Peter Dutton has decided to make Australian Palestinians, Australian Arabs, Muslim or Christians, Australians who are supporting Palestine, into a football that he kicks around is just disgusting. Now, I imagine anybody listening to this podcast and this show would never vote for Peter Dutton. But if you do see him going to dinner, I'd urge you to make sure that his dinner is really uncomfortable. During the week also, we had, you know, a brilliant piece of colonial advocacy. Penny Wong decided that even though it's part of the ALP national platform, and has been since 2018, that they would endeavour to save Israel by advancing the case for recognition of Palestine. Well, Labor, Prime Minister Albanese, Foreign Minister Penny Wong, Palestine exists. It exists in the hearts and minds of billions of people. Australia's diplomatic recognition of a Palestinian state is way, way overdue. In fact, 77 years overdue, because we should never have partitioned Palestine. The fact that Australia recognised Israel without a border, with a government that was made up of terrorists from the Irgun, Stern and Haganah that were wanted by the British police, many of whom were Aussie diggers, only months and weeks before that recognition was conferred on it, is a shame. Australia prides itself on the fact that it was the first country to recognise the State of Israel in the UN. That's because the aardvarks didn't show up, and so Australia was next cab off the rank. It should be something we are ashamed of, the partitioning of a historic land that all of Abraham's children had a connection to, into a piece of land that was Jewish only, or a Jewish state, separating families, disconnecting, and resulting in the ethnic cleansing and Nakba. It's something to be shameful. Australia has decided that its recognition would, of course, be conditional on Hamas not being part of it. Well, let me tell you something. You don't get to decide. You don't get to decide who represents Palestine. You don't get to decide who represents Palestinians. Palestinians will decide whomever should be recognising them. And it's entirely up to them. This concept of a colonial ideology that you get to decide is unacceptable, and we don't accept it. During the week, we had a couple of good news stories. I call them good news stories. The McDonald's Corporation, you know, no fan of McDonald's Corporation, obviously, due to the damage, the ongoing boycott McDonald's is facing all over the world, bought back 225 Israeli franchises from the master franchisor there. So they're now owned by McDonald's Corporation and no longer by that guy that decided to give free burgers to tank drivers. I'm not sure what they think that means, that they'll get us to stop not buying their shit products. I certainly am not going there again, and I'd commend all of you not to do the same. But also Samsung has an investment arm that had an office in Israel. On Tuesday, they packed up lock, stock, barrel, and said, we're out of here. I didn't write their press release, but it would have said something like, we don't want to be involved with the genocidal regime. We don't want to tarnish the brand. We don't want to tarnish our products. We don't want to be associated with a regime that can commit these sorts of crimes. We are an honorable company and want to move on, because, you know, there is just no way that you accidentally kill 20,000 children. There's just no way that you accidentally target refugee camps. There's no way you accidentally kill over 100 journalists, 250 aid workers. You don't accidentally attack 35 hospitals. You don't accidentally destroy 350,000 homes. You don't accidentally displace 2 million people. That happens because you got a plan. And so Samsung doesn't want to be involved or associated with that plan, and good on them. Go to, please, search up the Albert petition. There's a federal petition for Albert. Closes in only 3 days, and there'll be a launch of one in the state, a state Albert action in the coming week. So look out for that. And very quickly before we go to a song, and then we've got a really dear friend coming after the song, UNICEF was targeted. You know, the reportage here They had a very photogenic Australian former reporter, Tessingham. She said, we were driving away from the Israeli checkpoint when we got shot at and the civilians dispersed. What then gets reported was, you know, shots were fired at the UNICEF convoy. It seems Israel hasn't killed enough Australian aid workers. Just shocking. I want to bring Giselle in just very quickly. The Australia-Asia Workers Link, they're having a movie fundraiser called The Lab. This is done by Jotam Feldman. Tuesday, 23rd of April, 6 p.m. The CFMEU, level 7, 540 Elizabeth Street, followed by a Q&A with the film's director, Jotam Feldman. Giselle, tell us a little bit more.
Well, The Lab is a documentary that was actually made in 2013. It is about the Israeli military industry and the profits they make by testing weapons in the occupied territories. They then sell these weapons and market them by saying they were tested in combat. They sell them to basically local police forces in the United States for urban warfare. India, for example, is the biggest buyer of Israeli weapons. I know that the BDS campaign here in Australia and since October 7 has really focused on arms supply to Israel, which is obviously really, really important. But the other side of that is the gazillion dollars in profits that Israel makes in weapons sales and weapons manufacturing themselves. So this is a documentary about that. Jotam Feldman is an Israeli, so if that's a problem for people, which I respect, this is not the evening for you. But Jotam is a journalist. He writes for Haaretz, which is a progressive paper in Israel that Netanyahu's trying to shut down because their coverage of Gaza right now is that Gaza is a genocidal war zone and that Netanyahu's a maniac.
Mm-hmm. Well, Netanyahu is a maniac. So make sure you get along. We'll put details in the podcast.
That's right. I'll just give out my number. If you do want to come along, give me a ring and I'll help you get tickets, 0411054859.
Well, nobody's going to pick that. It was really quick.
I didn't want to take up too much time on your show.
No, that's all right. Just nice and slowly.
0411054859.
You can listen back in the podcast if you've missed that. And make sure you listen to the podcast and then share it with your friends too. So I've got a song here. And straight after that, we're going to be joined by Tony Piccolo from the Australian Metal Workers Union.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up.
Sick and tired. married off your ism, schism game. Dine and go to heaven in a Jesus name, Lord. We know and we understand. Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light. What you gonna we gonna do? Stand up for yeah, all right. Yeah, so yeah. You better get up.
Here to stay.
Don't give up the fight. Absolutely. Bob Marley, get up and stand up. And it's so amazing that somebody as principled and a fighter like Bob Marley could give birth to a kid like Ziggy, who's just, you know, a shame and a blight on his father. And it must have been, I'm going to suggest there's maybe no actual Bob Marley DNA in Ziggy, that he's a coming out of nowhere, because for those that don't know, Ziggy Marley is a big defender of the IDF, has fronted fundraisers for the IDF, performed in Adelaide at WOMAD, where WOMAD, the festival there, disinvited Soul 47, a Palestinian band. So rest in peace, Bob, and unfortunately you don't have the peace you deserve, because there's a shit stain of a human carrying your surname. We're joined by Tony Piccolo, who's the State Assistant Secretary of the Australian Manufacturing Workers Union. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, really well, brother. Really well. Great to have you on. Now, Tony, you're a staunch friend of Palestine. You're a staunch human being. I know you've spoken at our rallies. You've been front and centre, understanding that Palestine is union business. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you came to that place?
Oh, well, the AMWU and the union movement have got a long tradition of international solidarity and standing up for workers around the world, whether locally or internationally. International struggle, workers' struggle, is oppression and, you know, apartheid and killing of women and children always affect workers, whether it's healthcare workers, you know, while being victims of a war or standing up, and while being victims themselves, treating victims. So we take that as our responsibility very strongly, and it's a cause that's dear to my heart. And this started well before what occurred in the recent war. We had an international solidarity initiative. We put a motion at the last state council, state ALP conference, calling for the recognition of the Palestinian state well before the war. But more importantly, you know, my union was at the forefront of the anti-Vietnam War, and it started from very humble beginnings. I think, the first rally we held had five participants, and it grew and grew, and until we were at a stage to win the public support to end the war in our participation in the war in
Vietnam.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely. Now, Tony, you were in 2000, last year, you were talking about the conference motion. You were instrumental in getting the Victorian State Labor into passing a motion for the recognition of Palestine. Well done. Tell us a little bit about how that the politics of that works.
Well, it was not without raised eyebrows. Others that were involved. It wasn't just got broad cross-factional support, got both from the left and the right. But that being said, there was pressure to remove the motion, to walk down the motion. But we had to stand tall with our beliefs and our support of the Palestinian struggle and the opposition of oppression, wherever that raised its head. And so did raise many phone calls and many conversations, but I was proud to play my small part and very proud to represent the AMWU on that matter.
Well, it's no small part. The AMWU and yourself and your intervention of yourself and Tony Mav, sincerely appreciated, brother. The reality, a lot in our community that's pissed off with the Labor Party. I mean, let's not muck around there. But we've got another conference coming up, and you know, based on the reportage you hear about Elbow's coming, Jacinta's upset. What's that looking like? I mean, you've got a motion up.
We've drafted a motion, and this time we've gone broader reach in terms of the drafting of the motion. It's a robust motion. Caucus amongst supportive left unions, and then once we've settled on some words, we'll take that out to the broader ALP collective.
Right.
But I want to touch on a comment you made, Nasser, and I agree there are a lot of people upset with the Labor Party, and I would implore people the only way to change the Labor Party is to get involved in the Labor Party and change it from the ground up. And so the Labor Party is one of the most democratic institutions in the globe. So get involved, get active, join, and let's change the direction of where this party is going. Arrogant or naive, but state confidence coming up. I don't think it's any accident that Penny Wong has, you know, called for the, you know, perhaps we should recognise the state of Palestine during this conflict. And that is years of work, decades of work from the Labor movement, and I think is in direct response to what has been reported to may occur at the state conference.
Thanks for that, Tony. I mean, whatever comrades out there, whatever their orientation is towards the Labor Party, I think you're right. It really is clear that it's the pressure from the ground that's caused a lot of these changes in positions. But I reckon a lot of that pressure too comes from within the union movement. One of the most inspiring things I've seen in the last 6 months is this explosion of rank and file union activity for what is basically an international solidarity campaign. You and I have been international solidarity trade unionists for 20 years, 25 years. This rank and file commitment, is that the biggest thing you've seen in your time as a unionist?
When it comes to international solidarity, yes, it is. I think this is for the first time where the average worker, the average unionist, the average person is saying, well, what is actually going on over there? And they're doing their own research and finding out that what is occurring and the oppression that is occurring is unsustainable and abhorrent. And so people are genuinely shocked, made and horrified at what they're seeing on the ground, and the support that is being given to them, to the Israeli government and their military from Western powers. And you know, what people need to understand is, while people like Joe Biden are wagging the finger, if they actually stop the export of arms to those countries, to Israel, then the bombs would stop overnight because they don't have enough.
Thanks so very much, Tony. You're 100% right. It's really important, like Tony touched on earlier on, you know, peace is union business. Palestine is union business. I don't imagine it's the case, but if you're listening to the show and you're not a member of your union, join your union. The Workers United will never be defeated, yeah? So we need you to join your union. And if you already are a unionist, you've heard from Tony Piccolo, that Palestine is union business. Get active, get involved. Tony, a couple of minutes. You got anything else you want to add, brother?
I want to agree with your statement there, Nasser, but also how you can get active within your union, attend the rallies on Sunday. You know, some of the most joyous rallies I've been to, and no worker in this world should be left behind. Not in our name, not in the union's name. I'm proud to stand side by side with those fighting for a more just and free world.
Yeah, brilliant, Tony. Thanks so very much, mate. That was Tony Piccolo from the Australian Manufacturing Workers Union. He's the Assistant State Secretary. We've got a few minutes left. I just want to quickly speak to what's happening geopolitically on the ground. And there's a ratcheting up of dialogue around Iran, etc. I mean, let's be clear. Israel targeted a Iranian embassy in a different country. That's an attack on a foreign government. If Iran had targeted the Israeli embassy, then we know exactly what would have happened. But there's this notion that America is going to come to the aid of Iran. And for many of us, we sit in this space and think, how can that really happen? But I think just very quickly, I'm going to run through some points for us to consider about just how absurd that actually is. And just so you know, Austrian Airlines has stopped flights into Tehran. There's a whole bunch of language around what's happening. But Tehran's east, you'll find Pakistan, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan. There's no way you can put troops there. Remember when they went into Gulf War One? It took 6 months to get all of the troops into Saudi Arabia before they went into Iraq, yeah? And Iran's had a long time to prepare based on what they've seen in Iraq, etc. So to the south, you've got the Persian Gulf, which, Iran completely dominates, so you can't get battleships into there. To the west, you've got Iraq and Turkey. The first, you know, there's no chance they can do it out of Iraq. I mean, depending on who you listen to, that's almost Iran now. Turkey is not going to go to war with Iran for Israel and the US. That would be deeply unpopular with the Turkish people. Tehran's north is the Caspian Sea. You know, no chance of doing that. Azerbaijan and Armenia. I mean, that's kind of an opening. But how will you get tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of troops there? It's physically, you know, a challenge. You'd have to go through Istanbul to do it. It's politically complicated and no real chance. Remembering that it's going to take months to get the sort of troop level required to get to that point. There's just no way to get that level of human beings and tanks, etc., to the place. Iran has an arsenal of thousands of guided weapons. It's got missiles. It's got satellites in space. It's got capabilities of thousands of kilometers. It's got drones. Additionally, they've got the most sophisticated anti-ship missile stuff. The language and what they're talking about doing a full-scale invasion is just beyond the pale or any chance of happening. And when it happens, if it happens, you know, what's the price of oil going to be? And the biggest manufacturer of oil, Russia, you know, $200, $300, $400, $500 a barrel, they'll rise in economic power, and this will hasten the decline of Western hegemony and the US empire. So don't be sucked in by what that looks like. It will be a disaster for us all. We're coming to the end of a show. Thank you so very much for listening. Make sure you share the podcast, tell your friends, and remember, there's never been a better time for a free Palestine.
Because the Palestinian fight isn't just the Palestinians' fight, it's all our fight, because it's a fight not just about land, it's about a fight for freedom.
Everybody should be standing here today saying, free Palestine.
Solidarity with our Palestinian brothers and sisters. On behalf of the Gumbanja Nation, my people, who've never ceded their sovereignty.
We should be recognising Palestine as a state and recognising the rights of Palestinians.
3CR, stay tuned, stay radical.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.